Well, hello. How you doing, everybody? Welcome to the show. Welcome to your Friday morning. You made it. The weekend is here with Sports Radio TSN 1200. We are so glad you're along for this 23rd day of July 2021. And the gang's all here. I think for one last day. I was trying to do the math on this. We'll get to that in just a second. J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you. And the weekend weather forecast. Better actually for tomorrow. So that's the good news. Today still looks like it's going to be a pretty good day. Mix of sun and clouds. High of 26 degrees. Tomorrow, yesterday, I think we said tomorrow would be rainy. Now, it's going to be maybe rainy, but if it's going to be rainy, it's going to be like late in the day, like into the evening or tomorrow night. So most of tomorrow, actually, during the day is going to be pretty nice. Lots of sunshine around. Tomorrow's high will be 27. Forecast for Sunday at this point still holding. Looks like a pretty good chance of showers for some of Sunday and a high of 29 degrees. So back into some warmer weather. As you start out on this Friday morning, it is 15 degrees as we say good morning on a guy about to head into 2 weeks of holidays. So it is a mailing it in Friday for our
mailing it in
good friend Sean Simpson. How are you this morning, Simmer?
I'm good, Jer. I don't ever mail it in, but I got to be honest with it. Being draft day makes it a little more energetic. I'm excited to go, and this will be the last time we'll say good morning to each other until August 31st.
Or it's actually even beyond that,
is
I think.
It?
Yeah, well, you're off for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
When you get back, then I'm off for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then when I get back, Hammer's off for 2 weeks.
Okay.
So the three of us, we're not back until Labor Day.
Okay, which is...
it's like September 6th or
something.
Oh, that, like
that late. Okay,
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Well, so we're talking six weeks.
Yeah.
So. All right, so nobody shave.
Okay.
All right, until we're back reconvened here in September.
Why would we do that?
Let's see, just for some fun. Actually, I have no idea. I just saw that Seinfeld episode. I think it was season 9, where it starts off, and they all have mustaches. They grew mustaches for the summer, and then they're looking at each other, and they're really not too sure why they grew mustaches.
Seemed like
and
a
they
good
shaved it right away.
Seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yeah.
One of those things.
Yeah. If we wanted to do that for New Year's, Hammer, I think a little January. I wouldn't have a problem with January, February. It'd be a whole lot of fun.
Get that winter coat.
Do it in the middle of the summer. Doesn't appear as much appeal. I guess as much appeal to it. But hey, maybe we can do that for 2022 if that's possible. That we're already there.
There you go. Yeah.
I'll set that in my reminders.
There you go. Anything exciting planned for your 2 weeks, Hammer?
Yeah. We're heading to old Blue Mountain, so never been over to old Collingwood, so been mapping that out and searching that out, and they got a little...
very nice area.
Yeah, exactly. I can remember, it feels like yesterday, JR, when that whole complex was built. I think Steve Podborski was involved at the time, and I don't think that region had much of a ski hill, so we'll go from there. Plan to go down to Niagara Falls. The boys have never been, so I got a Marriott room on the 25th floor. I have been guaranteed above the falls, so we'll do that.
You still got Marriott points from your time?
No, I don't. God, long gone. And it's kind of funny to check in. I used to be somebody. I used to have the ultimate status and all that, but ended up booking a room, and it wasn't necessarily cheap, but to have a view for one night will be fun, so we'll do that. Little time up to Wonderland, another thing that the boys have never been to, so we'll do that, and then probably head home, but it'd be nice to go to Old Blue Mountain. It was funny trying to book it, and I don't know how you guys have been, but in deciding, I got out in front of it, I guess about 6 weeks ago, but when you start going through, say, Wasaga Beach, and I was talking to my buddy Dave McWayne's down in Grand Bend. Well, first of all, Grand Bend,
the bender,
the price of it, my jumping jeepers. Everything was just booked up, so we were pretty fortunate to get it. And then I called to shift some things around, the rooms based on some things that are going on personally, and it was amazing that the prices have doubled. So we were fortunate when we got in. So excited about that. And you guys have any nice plans for the weekend?
Well, we're working tonight. We're doing the draft.
Oh, that's right. Hello. Yeah.
You know, some of us are forward to it.
Some of us are working while others are off onto holidays. So, yeah, thanks for rubbing
this
that
in.
This
is the appetizer to the grand meal later on this evening. That's what it is.
Yeah, good point by you on that one, actually. Looking forward to that. To myself, Steve Lloyd, Dean Brown, and Hammer will take you through round one of the draft tonight here on TSN 1200 starting at 8 o'clock. Pierre Dorion, by the way, and we'll get into some of his comments as the morning goes on, says pretty... very high percentage, to use his words, exact quote, that the Ottawa Senators will stay at the number 10 pick that they have right now.
And a funny and kind of a fluid year, Jer, and I haven't even looked at the draft board, but if we went back to last year, which was supposed to be a hell of a draft, we're not a third of the first round picks moved by the time we got to draft day based on the trade deadline, right? I mean, Tampa Bay had made two. Like, there was a lot of movement. I don't know how many have been shifted out this year, but it doesn't feel like
I think it's five.
Is it five?
And they're pretty much all in the
the 20s.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Doesn't feel like as much chatter this year, right? Like, I, you know, LA's in play. You know, there's a couple of teams, but usually at this point, and maybe this is just with everybody being separated, people not being in one city, we just, I thought in the past, have had a lot more talk about warm bodies and a lot more trades, but maybe it's also just the Seattle effect, right? Where mm-hmm. expansion was the big story and what's happened in some of the deals. It's not like we haven't had a shortage of deals. Just doesn't feel like, as it relates to the draft, there's been quite as much talk.
A couple of trades yesterday as the roster freeze ended, so we'll get into that, including one that has me kind of scratching my head a little bit between Carolina and Detroit. So anyway, we'll get updated on all that and all the latest rumors and everything. Of course, lots of hockey talk for you throughout the show today. Dave Poulin, our TSN Hockey Insider, will join us after 8. After 9, we'll talk about the draft with TSN's chief scout Craig Button, who was out with his final mock a couple of days ago. He's got the Swedish goalie Jesper Wallstedt going to the Sens in the number 10 hole. So we'll ask him about that and all his other projections. And after 7 o'clock this morning, OHL Commissioner Dave Branch will join us on the show. And lots to go over with Dave, as the OHL will be back after sitting out all of last year. So a couple of things. They announced earlier this week that the league is mandating total double vaccinations for anybody associated with the league whatsoever, be it everything from management to coaches to players to anybody that's associated with the league in any capacity whatsoever. So I don't want to say that's a controversial measure, but that's always, you know, you're always dipping your toe into uncharted waters, let's say, when you're talking about the workplace and mandating things like that. So anyway, Dave's thoughts on that. I also want to touch on the fact that the Canadian Hockey League, of which the OHL is a member, has just signed a new multi-year agreement with TSN to become their new television partner. And of course, Dave ran the CHL for a long time. He's just the OHL guy now, but his fingerprints are all over junior hockey. So we'll talk about that. And what was the topic yesterday? The 19-year-olds who played in the American Hockey League. What, over 20 games was it last year?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think it's an agreement yet, but looking at potentially those players being able to stay in the AHL this year if they don't play in the NHL and not come back to the O. So I'm sure he'll have some thoughts on that as well.
Yeah, I don't know how many Western League or Quebec League players that would affect, JR, but kind of looked at the big three here in Ontario. Would end up being Drysdale to Byfield to Perfetti. I think in the case of Drysdale, you mentioned yesterday, probably an NHL player. Byfield gets a long look. But in the case of Perfetti, from a Winnipeg standpoint, they've all played over their 20 games. Would you be interested in keeping him in the American League? Does he make the NHL? Do you send him back to Flint? So a little bit of controversy and certainly a one-off, but it also doesn't open up the conversation. And I think people have been having it for a long time as to whether or not 19-year-old first-round picks should be able to play in the American Hockey League. It's always a healthy debate.
So Dave Branch, 1 hour from now, of course, through the show, this being a Friday, a chance to throw a wrench on Wrench Throwing Friday. If you're new to the show, Wrench Throwing Friday, your acronym there, it would be WTF, which normally you might go, what the? So that's stuff that's bugged you the last 7 days. We toss a wrench at it. Feel good going into the weekend. Doesn't have to be about sports. Can be about anything, including this first wrench of the morning from Triple D on text at 12-1200, a wrench to the city. And there's speed trap cameras. That, can't use that word, is the biggest cash grab I've ever seen. I may be getting a ticket in the mail for going 46 in a 40. That's from Triple D.
Jonas Denskali.
There you go. I may have gotten.
Did you get one?
I got. We actually got two. We got two in the mail from the same day. Two different drivers. Two different places.
Wow. No way. Was one you?
One was me.
Wow.
I'm
going daughter. I'm going daughter with the other one.
Well, this could be a long story. I'll try and keep it as short as I can. So my wife and I had a meeting at a bank. This is sometime in May, right? And my daughter is actually home from university. She's going to visit my wife's her grandmother, right?
Yeah.
It ends up, you know, coming home. She can't get back on the Queensway because at Green Bank, the ramp is closed. So she's going a back way. Anyway, she ends up on Bayshore. There's one on Bayshore Drive. These are school zones, right? Or whatever.
Okay.
She ends up going, you know, she's trying to hurry home because she ends up being a little bit late. So she's 52 and 40. Anyway. Okay. Well, we don't know any of this because the tickets come in the mail, right?
Okay.
And then she gets home. So then we're late.
to try to get to the bank, going through Canada, got another one, which was a little bit more than the one hers was.
Wow.
In totality, we were about $300.
Do you get the photo in the mail as well, Jared?
Yes.
They still do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
me. So here's the thing. The one in Canada, and there's a big story on CTV Ottawa, and if you didn't see the news last night, good write-up on this one. The one in Canada... it was close to $1 million in fines.
Collecting cash.
I had no idea it was even there, to be quite honest with you. It's been there since last July. I don't travel that road that often, and I'll never travel it again now that I've seen that. So I was 54 and a 40 or something like that. You know, it's over. Why the street in front of my house is 50 kilometers an hour and the more major street is 40. That's another thing that I'd like to throw a wrench at right now, now that it comes to me.
School zone?
But anywhere else. Just major roads that aren't even outside of school is 40 kilometers. Why is the crescent? Why is my crescent a 50 kilometer an hour? Why is that? Why is it 10 kilometers? Anyway, we're going to the bank, and so you get both of them. I get both of them in the mail within a day of each other.
Did you go back to the bank to get a loan for these speeding fines?
No, but here's the thing. So I had a physio appointment, and one of the women that works in this, the physio appointment is just off this road. Well, you don't get the tickets for like 2 or 3 weeks, right? And I don't know whether they had unplugged it and plugged this one in or whatever. Whatever it was, she got 4 tickets. Because you don't know, right? You don't know until you get them in the mail. Well, she got them on like consecutive days.
Oh my God.
4
God.
Days in a row going to work. So anyway, we should all drive. Listen, I hate when people speed on my street. Don't get me wrong, okay? So I'm guilty as charged. But I get triple D. And the fact, you know, if you're getting, I think you can get tickets if it's 6 kilometers or above the actual limit.
Come on.
Which usually, I mean, a cop is going to look the other way, right?
Exactly.
If you get 10
absolutely.
Or more, usually it's 20 when you're on the 401.
Over 10. Yeah. Okay, maybe.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, so there you go. So just to keep your eye on those big cameras and slow down around the schools, most importantly. Okay, so there you go. That's what Wrench Throwing Friday is all about. You can text us at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN1200. We'll do that throughout the morning with you as well. But when we come back, we'll get into all the hockey stuff. There's some pretty juicy rumors out there as we head toward the NHL draft coming up this weekend. So all of that when we return here on this Friday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.
Miles per hour or kilometers?
Neither, apparently. All right, welcome back, everybody. 6:24 here on a Friday morning. J.R. Simmer and Hammer. It is NHL draft weekend. Round one of the draft will go tonight at 8 o'clock. Live coverage here on TSN 1200 as well with a specific lens on the Sens. And we'll be hearing from whomever if they do end up staying at number 10, as we suspect they will. Whoever that draft pick is, pretty good chance they'll join us on our draft coverage tonight. And hopefully to be joined by tonight and tomorrow as well at various points by General Manager Pierre Dorion and Chief Scout Trent Mann. All the picks tomorrow as well, rounds 2 through 7. Our coverage tomorrow begins at 11 a.m. Lever Sage, Graham Creech, and Gord Wilson will take you through tomorrow's day. So looking forward to all the draft coverage and what is always an exciting time as Ottawa will add yet more depth into their, we'll say their... the riches, riches is probably too strong. Their bounty. Their bounty of picks they've had in the last few years.
Yeah, no, I haven't combed through them all. Haven't done the power rankings, JR, but I'll put it darn near the top, if not the top, by the time the draft concludes with the 10th pick in a couple early seconds. Ottawa's prospect pool and who they've drafted. And I think that's the excitement of, hey, 10 is almost still very juicy. You're not in the top 5 like we were last year with a couple of picks, but... with the fates that people have in man now, it's not really of, oh my God, I'm scared they're going to, you know, ruin it. It's more like how exciting and whatever he ends up picking, people lean towards being a genius pick as of right now.
Yes, exactly. He's getting a lot, and rightfully so, getting a lot of rope.
There's a lot of respect, a lot of trust right now.
Yeah, and it's... You know, because listen, Timmy Stützle was rated to go in the top 3. They had the 3rd pick. They chose him. Looks like Sanderson's a good pick, but you know, is he better pick than Drysdale? We don't know that yet. Is he bigger? You know, is he better pick than, you know, 2 or 3 of the other guys that were drafted? We don't know how that's going to play out. So I am wondering where in the eyes of fans when that, you know, what were those picks? Was it Drake Batherson? Getting Drake Batherson in the fourth round and Alex Formanton in the second round in the one draft where they only had four picks?
I think it started with Kachuk. I mean, yeah. Right there. It just was like, hey, all the crap that you wanted to say at that time and Zadina and everything else, by that time that year played out, I think everyone was silenced, and not that it was everything, but then you build on it. And if you really go back to it and trace it, and I'll have to go back, I'll pull up Ottawa's old drafts, JR, but it really felt within the industry where they were at, and I'm not saying it concluded with, but it was in and around where they had all the high picks, but it's also when they hit on Havlat. And then I think not after that, they drafted Mesuros late in the first round. He played right away where you felt like, you know, as an Ottawa fan, or at least within the industry, you thought, boy, that Ottawa team seems to grab picks from all over the place and always seems to draft well in the first round.
Well, Hossa, right? Hossa was 12th overall, I believe.
Yeah,
So when Phillips was the first overall in 96, I think Hossa was the 12th overall in 97. I'm trying to remember. Did they have a pick in 98? Because Havlat was 99, and Havlat was like the 26th pick in that, and that was a very weak draft. Like the 99 draft, that was the one with the Sedins were excellent choices, but Patrick Steffen was the first choice, and that was a very weak draft. So to get Havlat in the 26th hole was very good. So yeah, but then there's also been some years that were pretty fallow for a while.
Where
they did not draft very well, and. You can trace pretty much any NHL team, and if they're in the dumper, and you kind of, if you go back 4 to 6 to 7 years, you go back and you start looking at the drafts, and if you don't get any players, or your first rounder turns out to be average at best, or a bottom feeder player, or whatever, you know, it takes a while, but how it shows itself is a team usually starts drifting down in the standings because they don't draft well.
Yeah, and in that Deg draft, you get Dimitra, then you get to Radek Bonk, where you start pulling some players like Alfredson. You end up drafting Berard, which ends up turning into Redden. It goes to Phillips, to Hossa, and of course, the 98 is a funny Matthew Chouinard saga.
Oh, that's right.
And then you get to Havlat, Volchenkov, Spezza. Mm-hmm. Obviously grabbing that. So, and like I said, and then you get into Kleppish and Gleason. You know,
that's
and
where it started to go south.
Well, is that the Muckler regime coming in at that time? Or Marshall Johnson, kind of that?
No, group? Marshall Johnson was Jason Spezza.
Okay,
Marshall Johnson
okay.
left pretty quickly. He made the trade for Spezza, arguably the best trade they've ever made. So.
Yeah. So that, but that little core there, that foundation that, you know, put together along with, of course, Spezza being a trade and Chara, and then all of a sudden you're off and running.
Yeah. So anyway, back to the trade. Man thing, because he was not around back in those days, but since he and Pierre Dorion was the chief scout for a long time, and then when Brian Murray left, he gets bumped up to general manager, and Trent Mann, Bob Lowe's was there for a tiny bit before he went off to Vegas, and then Trent Mann takes over, but since then, you're absolutely right. The picks, whether they are top picks or whether they are picks that are, you know, second, third, fourth rounds or whatever, they're starting to hit on these.
Yeah.
And that is why this Ottawa Senator team is on the rise.
Yeah.
It's not because, you know, it's not necessarily because they're making these bang up trades. It's the fact that they're starting to get some great depth due to their very good drafting.
Yeah, and even lost in the shuffle, I would say a kid like Yarvente, but didn't have a real strong World Junior, JR. I would assume a kid like that with a real good summer, he's going to stay and play in Belleville as an underage. He could have another big year. So yeah, you start to go through the picks, and they kicked it off under Pierre Dorion, although I think it was the final. Did Bob Lowe's disappear after drafting Mr. Brown? Like, because he disappeared in the middle of the night to Vegas, right? I think he finished that draft, and then it was kind of like, hey, by the way, Bob left.
Yeah.
It was pretty...
Bob's not here!
It was pretty, just pretty subtle.
It was very mysterious, I have to say.
It really was. It was just like, hey, Bob's not in the Sens magazine anymore. He's appearing on the Vegas website.
Well, Vegas started, their first draft was 2017, and so if he was hired by Vegas to be part of their scouts, it would stand to reason that he went in the dead of the night after the 2016 draft, which was the Logan Brown draft.
And then it is, and it's fun for men, and obviously it takes an eye, it takes a staff. What's also interesting, and this is where philosophically, JR, if you want to talk about, I'm going to leave the pro side alone, but from the amateur side, it is certainly, I like boots on the ground, there's no doubt, but there's also an argument, and I'll debate this with the franchise down the road. The Toronto Maple Leafs probably have 60 scouts. And when you start to honestly unravel what's gone on there and what is really, and now everyone still blames Mark Hunter and Lou, which is fine. But the drafting since Shanahan took over has really caught up with the franchise, right? And they have so many scouts. And now I know they're picking in a different spot.
It's paralysis by analysis?
Well, you can end up with too many. There's no doubt. You know, and I remember one year in Toronto, they only had 4 picks one year, and they were a transition of a staff. And Mike Penny, Tommy Bergman, and I think one other guy, I think it was Garth Malarchuk, ran their draft. And I'll have to go back. And not that they were stars, but I think they hit on all 4 picks because it was just a smaller staff. You do it where, you know, there is something to be said for having too many people and too many people, you know, doing too much. And, yeah, as you said, you just end up with a lot of confusion.
All right. So Ottawa with the 10th pick. Again, Pierre Dorion, during his media availability yesterday, said there's a, quote, to use his words, very high percentage we'll pick at number 10. And again, it's all over the map. You know, and you have to see how this all play itself out. Trent Mann, the chief scout, said the other day, he thinks that, and you asked him when he was on with us, you know, is it harder to get intel this year because, you know, nobody's been together watching games for the most part because everybody's doing a lot of video scouting, et cetera. And he admitted it was not the same. But he also has said that by the time it gets around to the 5th, 6th, 7th pick somewhere in there, he thinks at that point, based on who's gone and who's going to be picking, you know, in the next few slots, he's going to have a pretty good idea how it's going to lay out for Ottawa. So, you know, by the time we get to, you know, Detroit, right, Columbus is 5, Detroit is 6, San Jose is 7. Once we get into that range, Ottawa sitting at 10 should have a pretty good idea of the player they're going to get.
Yeah, and also if you're sitting there on a draft list, I mean, I guess 10's a bit early. 15 would be a better mark, JR, where somebody has almost gone completely off the board. It doesn't generally happen in the top 10. And I think the total wild card is the 2 goaltenders, whether or not Wallstedt or Kassa, who has seemed to be rising quickly, you know, how that's going to be put in and then how that'll end up affecting Ottawa's pick.
So a lot of, including Craig Button, a lot of people mocking for Wallstedt, the Swedish goaltender, to the Ottawa Senators at number 10. There are, by most accounts, kind of the expert draft pickers say there are 9, there's a tier of 9 skaters. And if those 9 skaters go to the first 9 teams, I think that's why a lot of people said, well, put a goalie in for Ottawa then at number 10. They don't necessarily have an answer in net right now, although they have a lot of depth at the position. So put the goalie in there. I think that's the reason a lot of the so-called draft experts have gone in that direction. Yeah. It was interesting that Pierre Dorion spoke about the Sens' goaltending depth yesterday.
It's something that we've targeted through the draft. In the last few years, we've taken a goalie pretty much every single year. I think it's something that we feel, and we've traded for some goalies. We just feel that it's the most important position. And, you know, as I alluded to before, I think we've got the quality. And we've got the quantity at every level. What really has impressed us is how the players have progressed. Certain goaltenders have progressed, and the progression has been a different pace. But we feel that we're in a good spot.
So that was Pierre Dorion speaking yesterday about the goalies in the Sens system right now, and they're in 6 in total. And you would take by his words right there that, hey, pretty satisfied with what we've got at goaltender right now. Yeah. But then it was interesting because, I don't know if you're listening, Simmer, but he kind of circled back.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was even on the next question or the next answer. Right in the middle of it, he kind of doubles back to the goaltender, the idea of a goaltender pick, and said, quote, by the way, that doesn't mean we wouldn't draft a goalie if we think he's a Vezina caliber.
Yeah.
So he kind of circled back. So I'm guessing this is all for public consumption. Yeah. Want to make sure that all the other general managers know, nobody's got any idea what Ottawa's picking. Want to make sure we keep the goalie question in play as well.
Yeah.
Maybe they're all in on a goalie at this point. Maybe they're not.
Yeah.
So anyway, I found that to be interesting that kind of out of the blue he went back to the fact, oh, we could still take a goalie, by the way.
Yeah, it is interesting, JR, and anybody really saying at 10, and there's nothing wrong with speculating and trying to figure out, but that's all it is. There's nobody to me. With the way Ottawa operates, there are no leaks. There's nobody in the hockey world that truly knows what they're doing. And the message is to send at 10. You know, you mentioned a few years ago, and rightfully so, they kind of said, hey, you know what, we're thinking about a center, and that really related to Kotkaniemi and Tkachuk. Last year, when you're at 3 and 5, what you're sending out in messages, when you're at 10, you're not having a real, real big effect. But hey, why not keep everybody guessing? And, you know, to me, the wild card does become the goaltenders. I'll also say from the goalies, JR, I'm respectful of all the scouts out there and people that watch, but there is a real tendency within the industry is that when Gustafsson got traded, I know he had done lots internationally, but his time in the American League has been fairly quiet. People don't scout it as much, and I really believe that in the case of Søgaard being Danish, I don't know if people really know him that well. I know he played in the Western Hockey League, but I don't know if people necessarily know his caliber or even realize how well he played at the end of the season. You know what I mean? Like, everyone's quick to point to Ottawa, and then if they really do some investigating, I think you'd truly be asking yourself, let's just make sure these two fellas that are being hyped right now are truly better than Søgaard and Gustafsson.
Right, right. I think the other interesting aspect to this, and again, if the 9 skaters go to the 9 teams ahead of Ottawa and then Ottawa's at 10, is the fact that if you aren't interested, if you're Ottawa and you are truly satisfied with your goalie and you do want to go with the skater, if there is a team that is below you that is really hot for one of these two goalies, you want to let the rest of the hockey industry that you very much are open to drafting a goalie, even if you're not, because you would like them to phone you up and offer you a pretty good package to trade back so they can jump into your number 10 spot. And you can still get the skater you want, maybe by moving back 2, 3, even 5 spots or whatever.
Yeah.
Get some more draft capital, prospect, whatever, player, whatever it might be, when you had no intention of taking a goalie in that spot in the first place.
And it would also be, JR, realistically, whatever lists are, whatever Bob McKenzie puts out, I'm going to guess for what Ottawa has as a list of their top 10. I'll even go top 9. Their top 9 going 1 through 9, I'll put the odds at 1 in a million. Like, I mean, it just doesn't happen. The way this lays out, at least in hockey, I don't know how it is in football. I think football, you can slot it a little bit differently based on the age, some predictions, but it would be very seldom that you would sit there and every single player that you basically had 1 through 9 is picked off in front of you and you're kind of sitting there. So you have to deal with it because it could happen. But it is really, really rare that somebody doesn't go off the board, or quite simply, hey, Ottawa just has some guys there ranked differently in the top 10.
I was reading a piece last night. Of all the years in which teams are going to go off the board, this would probably be the year because the scouting has been so weird. And I don't remember the piece I was reading last night about it, but some scout from some team or some general manager said to a writer, there's going to be a point in the first 15 picks of the draft where somebody's going to choose someone and we're going to say, we had that guy rated in the 4th round. Like that's how volatile people expect this draft to be. May be a bit exaggerated, but to show you that this is probably going to be the one where people are going to have a list in front of them. And, you know, a team like Ottawa that's shown, you know, no reluctance to kind of going off in their own way may take a guy, they've got the 2 high second round picks, a guy that's rated in the 4th round by the so-called experts.
Yeah.
But again, the scouting and everything has been so different this year that I think we're going to see things that are all over the board.
Yeah, or somebody that went through the draft. And I'll be honest, last year, especially for a first round, maybe one of the biggest shocks of all time was Columbus taking, is it Shin, or the Russian kid? When you're watching a draft on TV and the people that are doing it are within the industry and they don't know the person.
Here's how it plays itself out. You're watching TV and the guys on the panel, right? They have papers in front of them, right?
Yeah.
And somebody goes off the board and you can see them visibly pick up their paper and start shuffling through and going down a whole bunch. Like, I didn't have this guy in the first, third. There's my pile of guys I had ranked in the 4th round. I found him. Here's what I can tell you about him.
Well, and it was Mike Fuda, and Mike has been in the industry a long time, JR. When you can't even make it up on the go, and the part I appreciated with Mike is that he didn't do the old BS thing where he's like,
tremendous skater from Chelyabinsk.
Yeah, from the far east of Russia, Khabarovsk. But no, they were just like, wow, didn't know. So yeah, I think there will be some of that. And like I said, and also from a Sens perspective, if you're a fan, and the goaltender one is still the wild card, and I think that makes the fun of it, is that, you know, Wallstad's been talked about all year, Cass is on the rise, and now as we saw some of the things happening yesterday with Detroit and Carolina, and puts everybody all over the place trying to speculate as to how that's going to play out with the goaltenders, which, hey, it certainly does relate in a positive way. And if Ottawa's just sitting there and saying, hey, you know what, I don't have any interest in a goaltender whatsoever, we're thrilled with Gus, and we're thrilled with Søgaard, we're sitting there, you're really hoping hoping at the end of the day that both of them go in the top nine, because I would assume that that means you're going to get a higher quality of skater.
Yeah, and Pierre Dorion, and in addition to the clip we played, him talking about the fact that you know they like the goaltending depth that they have right now in the system, he went through those guys one by one and kind of talked them all up. And again, could be public posturing.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But he really was kind of waxing on about what they like about all of the goaltenders they have in their system right now, for whatever that's worth.
Yeah, so. And it's, as I said, Jared, it's always your job. At every turn, it's the smartest thing is to pump up your own prospects, say the things. And in this particular case, I mean, even for Mandalese, I think kind of as an outside chance, I think it's realistic. I would not look at Sogard and Gustafson. I don't know Mandalese quite as well, but I said the same thing about DeCord. I think all three of them have a National Hockey League future. We'll just have to see how high they can go.
All right, so Ottawa picks number 10 at this stage. Of course, the number one pick belongs to the Buffalo Sabres. Seems pretty cut and dried. They're going to go with Owen Power, the big defenseman out of the University of Michigan. Seattle has the number two pick. Most people are saying Matty Beniers, center. From the U.S. development team, and Michigan will go to Seattle at number two. And then the intrigue starts, I think, with Anaheim at number three. Bunch of different directions they'll go. Yeah. And New Jersey will be interesting at four, only because they've got Jack Hughes, Luke Hughes, who is the third brother, who's kind of the rankings I've seen on Luke Hughes have been anywhere from kind of in that 5-6 slot to down as low as 11 or 12.
Yeah.
He's not necessarily as offensively dynamic as either of his brothers, but he's bigger. He's a great skater like the other guys are. But you kind of look at New Jersey, and it's not necessarily destination A for an NHL player, right? And I'll just throw this out, and you can completely debunk what I'm about to say.
Yeah.
But Jack Hughes, right? Jack Hughes, everybody thinks is going to be a star to superstar player in the NHL. If you're New Jersey, do you kind of double down on the Hughes by going, well, we want to make sure that Jack stays, so let's draft, his brother's a good player, all things being equal, let's draft his brother because Jack is more likely to stay here long-term if his brother is here.
Yeah, no, I'd say no, JR. You know, in the case of the Hughes family, knowing Jimmy, knowing Ellen, very loyal. What I'll also say, again, Fitzgerald, who's the general manager, and Jimmy Hughes are very good friends, along with John Ferguson Jr. They all went to college together. What I look at is something a little bit differently. It doesn't always work out having the two brothers. And I'll go back to the Stahl experiment in Carolina. If you're coming in and the expectations, and it looks like Chicago's going to go down that path with the Jones brothers, you know what? If Luke Hughes is not quite as good, but you're forcing it, like, don't bother. Mm-hmm. You've got a real good player. Let Jack focus on his own game. Do you know what I mean? Where you can complicate things and you just can't worry about that down the road. I kind of predicted it, again, based on kind of the family and everything else, but there'd be also times where you'd say, hey, you know what? I'm not that you're going to steer clear of it, but that's not that wouldn't be my ideology, I guess, is my point.
Yeah, logically, it doesn't make sense, and that's not what I would do. Yeah. I just wonder whether there's some organizations that would think that
way. Well, hey, you know what? There's nothing wrong with having more of the Hughes. If you know Jimmy and you know Ellen, you know the family, you can't go wrong as well, so it's certainly nice to know what you're dealing with. So if you get another one in and that's what you're trying to build as a franchise. And I think they're also trying to rebuild the culture there. So wouldn't be wrong to go that way. Like I said, you just have to be delicate, make sure that you're not overrating the player just because of the name. And I don't know him, Jer. That's just my curiosity, is that that's quite a sway in ratings of what we're seeing. And you start to wonder, is this, as the Stalls kind of went along and you keep kind of going down it, is he that good or is it a bit of a name recognition?
Columbus has the number five pick. Detroit is number six. And, again, some various so-called draft experts suggesting that might be a landing spot for a goalie.
Yeah.
Wallstedt and or Kosa. Do you think that yesterday's trade in which Detroit acquired Alex Nedeljkovic from Carolina and then signed him to a two-year contract in any way changes what Steve Yzerman may be thinking about goalie?
Yeah, zero. And not even just because of, Nedeljkovic. I don't think he's a franchise goalie, although I like him, JR. But I just said to people historically, just go back. They used a first-round pick on Vasilevsky in 2012. The following April, they traded for Ben Bishop. Steve Yzerman knows this is the long game with drafting a goaltender. You want to give him probably 5 years, meaning Wallstad, before he'll play. So I think it factors in zero as to what they're going to do today.
All right. So, again, the draft starts 8 tonight here on TSN 1200. And we'll take you through completely through round one. And then coverage of rounds 2 through 7 begins tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. And then after the draft is done this weekend, we turn turn our attention to free agency, which starts next Wednesday at noon. All right, we'll take a break. Thoughts on any of that are welcome. Where would you see, what would you like Ottawa to do in the draft in terms of position? We don't have to go specifically player. I know it's a bit of a crapshoot for everybody. Everybody's kind of reading stuff and going, this guy and that guy. What's the best position Ottawa should be drafting? You know, should be going for a center, for a defense, you know, size, goalie, whatever it might be. Let us know what you think. Text us at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN1200. Again, Craig Button, TSN's chief scout, will join us after 9. Dave Poulin, TSN hockey insider, after 8 o'clock. So lots of talk on the draft coming up as we continue along here on a Friday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. On a Friday morning, J.R. Simmer and Hammer Dave Branch, OHL commissioner, will join us just after 7 o'clock. Lots of issues to get into with Dave, so look forward to that. And mostly look forward to the return of the 67s in OHL hockey. We had zero last year, so they'll be back on the ice. The schedule's out, and I look forward to that. But Dave Branch will join us coming up in about 20 minutes or so. About 1 hour from now, we'll have our TSN 1200 $1,000 Minute. So your chance to end the week, head into the weekend with maybe $1,000 in your pocket. So we'll have that. And don't forget tonight at 6 o'clock, ahead of our coverage of round one of the draft, Michaela Schreider and Robin Flynn are by with another edition of She's Got Game. Amongst their guests, Olympic synchronized swimmer Jackie Simoneau and Angela James, who is a Hockey Hall of Famer. She was a part of the, I believe, the first Women's World Hockey Championship, of course, was in Ottawa in 1990, and Angela James was on that team. Right. So she will be a guest tonight at 6 o'clock as well here on TSN 1200. All right, 6:52. Okay, the draft goes tonight, so we spent a bunch of time on that. We'll continue, and Craig Button will join us coming up after 9. Here are the latest juicy rumors that are out there, and I think the one that was gaining the most steam last night was the rumored deal that is coming together, not done yet, between Columbus and Chicago involving defenseman Seth Jones, of course, who has told the Blue Jackets already, he's got a year left in his contract, I ain't re-signing with you. So right now Columbus, which looks like it's in need of a rebuild anyway, has said, well, we're not going to let you go for nothing. So and maybe the biggest package they're going to get is right now. Chicago, of course, just got rid of Duncan Keith. They just acquired Caleb Jones, who is Seth Jones' brother, in that trade. And they are in need of a big-time defenseman. So the pieces, just on the surface, appear to fit. Columbus wants it to, you know, to go young. They want picks. They want good young players or whatever. Do you think when it's all said and done, Simmer, we're going to see that deal come together?
Yeah, it sure feels like it. And I also think between Jarmo Kekalainen and Mr. Bowman, lots of trades. Thinking back to Saad trade, that when he went there and went back, and certainly one of the bigger ones, well, that involved Panarin. Yep. So there's trust, there's thought. And when you also, there was some early talk about DeBrincat and some of the things that Columbus was asking for, have to think where Columbus is at right now as an ownership group. And if it gets a green light, have to go into an Ottawa region. Rebuild. So it sounds like lots of futures are involved, JR, and yeah, it sure feels like it's headed towards it, towards a deal.
If you're Chicago, and this is, you know, and by all accounts, didn't watch a lot of Columbus this year. Seth Jones had a down year. You know, certainly the analytics would tell you that, and even, you know, Pierre Maguire is not an analytics person, but even he admitted that he didn't think that Seth Jones had as good a year. All that to say, though, you know, he still has a very good reputation around the NHL. He's still, what, 26 years old. If they can get him to commit to, you know, the long-term contract extension, if you're Chicago, would you give up a player like a Kirby Dach or something like that as the centerpiece of a trade?
Well, I don't know if you can at this point, JR. I almost feel like you have to go even more futures, but I know you're getting Seth Jones, but honestly, I don't really know about Chicago. I guess I'm going to summarize. If I take Kirby Dach out right now, I don't even know where Jonathan Toews' future is at. Dach's going into, what, his third-year pro? I don't know how much you can take out, JR, to put into another spot. If you're bringing in Seth Jones right now on a mega contract and a deal, I'm assuming they're not doing a rebuild. They're doing a retool. So
you're trying to win with Kane and Toews still there, right?
Yeah, and with Kirby Dach and with DeBrincat and what you have on your team. So I think if Chicago can, we're going to see as many futures based on picks. And I don't know their prospect pool well enough, but I think they'll try to not use anybody that's on their team. But I also respect it's Seth Jones. You got to give up something.
Yeah, well, absolutely, right? And so anyway, that is the latest on that. That one has appears to have a lot of legs.
Yeah,
and feels from a bunch of different reasons that that's something that could come together, perhaps as soon as before round one of the draft tonight. So that is one that's out there, and of course we're waiting for the other shoe to drop on Zach Hyman and the Edmonton Oilers. Here's TSN hockey insider Darren Dreger with the latest on that.
Ongoing discussions primarily with the Edmonton Oilers, although there are some who believe that the Toronto Maple Leafs aren't officially out. But look, if the Oilers are going to have access to that eighth year, then it has to be a sign and trade. And Kyle Dubas and Ken Holland are going to have to communicate on what the compensation is going to be. The Oilers aren't going to feel comfortable with paying a third or a fourth round pick. They look at a sixth or a seventh round pick as compensation. Otherwise, they'll wait until the 28th. We know that Zach Hyman spent at least a good part of Wednesday in Edmonton meeting with the brass and touring the city. So you might want to put a little bit of money on the Oilers.
There you go. So if it's a seven-year deal, the rumored amount per year is around somewhere around $5.5 million on Hyman.
Yeah, yeah.
If they are able to work out a deal with the Leafs and get some compensation and therefore they can add the eighth year, then maybe it comes in at around $5 million per season.
Yeah.
So that's looks like how it would come together if they can get the deal done.
Simple take right here, JR. I'm the Toronto Maple Leafs. I'm sitting. I'm assuming I want Hyman back. Kenny Holland is going to offer me a sixth or seventh round pick so he can get an eighth year on and keep his costs down. Not a chance I'm doing it, because I actually think if Hyman goes to free agency, you can only offer him seven. I come back and offer him six at five. I'm going to get the player back.
Sorry, you said that really fast.
Yeah. Okay, so so here's what's going down.
No trade.
Well, no.
He gets to free agency, and Toronto offers him what?
Well, okay, listen. If Edmonton right now is saying, I'm going to make a deal with you, I'm going to give you a sixth or seventh round pick, which is nothing,
right,
to give him 8 years,
yes,
I'm helping Edmonton out,
yes,
to sign my player. Well, I'm not doing that unless you're giving me something. So now you go to regular free agency, and Edmonton offers him 7 years at 5.5.
Mm-hmm.
Toronto says, I'll give you six at five. He's going to go back to Toronto.
Yeah. I think the thing is Toronto can't go to five.
Well,
again, this is the Toronto people that I've seen talking about it. They say the most that Toronto's offered right now is $4 million a year on a long-term deal.
Yeah, be interesting, though. My point is that if I can get it back to the discussion, and I really feel like Hyman doesn't want to go to Edmonton, I'm not helping Edmonton out, is my point, JR. I'm going to say, hey, you go and do your own seven-year deal.
I agree with you on the sixth or seventh. If you're Toronto, why bother? If it's a third or a fourth, probably a third-round pick, then I could see some. Toronto doesn't have any picks either. That's a thing, right? They've only got three picks in the entire draft. So I'm assuming they would like to add something, but a sixth or a seventh is a complete flyer.
And here would also be, and a little bit against what I just said, at the same time, if Toronto knows there's no way Hyman's coming back, you take what you can get. And then the other part, it never hurts that he's heading out west. Not that Zach Hyman's going to go to somewhere and be a Stanley Cup piece, but hey, it's Edmonton. Let's get her done. But I think there's some moving parts there. And I guess my spidey senses just keep thinking back that I really think Hyman wants something to happen with the Leafs and wants to figure something out. So hey, the less of a gap between what Edmonton can ultimately offer, and if it is the 7 years, no deal made, and it's $5.5 million, you're getting close to 40 at the end of the day. If you're Toronto, what would you go, max 6 years? And if the money you're saying, well, I'm only gonna be able to get up to about 27, well, obviously the player is going to take the extra $13 million. That's too much of a gap to leave on the table.
We were told as the season went on, the people that said were convinced that Zach Hyman would take a hometown discount because his parents are apparently really rich. And if you kind of follow his story about Lloydie tweeted out, it's a pretty interesting story about how, his anybody that had kids in minor hockey, especially kids in rep hockey, know how expensive it is. And there are certain families that can afford to, they can buy teams and send kids to these places.
For sure,
and whether you can manufacture an NHL player, well, that's open for discussion. But certainly money can pave the way to potentially that happening.
Yeah,
and Zach Hyman is one of those kids, apparently. So, interesting backstory. So we'll keep our eye on that one as well. That's the other one that's out there. Zach Hyman potentially going to Edmonton in a sign and trade. So we'll keep our eye on that as well. And everything else that transpires here over the next days, because we're heading towards NHL free agency coming up on Wednesday. First and foremost, the draft. Round one tonight, rounds 2 through 7 tomorrow, starting at 11. And coverage right here on TSN 1200. We'll take a break. 7 o'clock, latest news on the way. Run down the scoreboard for you and come back and talk with OHL Commissioner Dave Branch when we return right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.